Thank you. I was going to say, I just feel so blessed. I'm blessed whether I feel it or not. But it's good to feel, isn't it? And thank you for your welcome. And I feel very privileged and again, very honored to be here. And the Bible schools are always wonderful. They're just wonderful times. And so wasn't it a great day today and last night? And so many things, you know, but one another is very powerful, isn't it? Just being together and being with one another. And also I love the title, the hope. I love that word hope, and I see so many anchors around. And I hope we're going to learn Hebrews 6 verse 19. And, you know, verses can become a real impression in our heart that we take away. Because the Word of God is no value if it stays in this book. It's got to go from the book into our heart, isn't it? And so I pray that this Bible school, God's Word, will come and really come into our heart. And hope is such a joyful word for us who are saved and to know the Lord. If you know Jesus, hope is a joyful word. But you know, there's a world out there, and for many of them, hope is a painful word because they say, I don't have it. And our privilege and our heart is to bring hope, isn't it? We receive hope, we know hope. We get that anchor that's in our heart, that's in our soul. Anchor, our soul is anchored, but the hope that we have to bring to others, don't we? And what a message, what a mandate that we've got. And I think I said it this morning, hope is very powerful. Hope wins the battle. You know, any army that loses hope loses the battle. You lose hope, you lose the battle. And I pray that this Bible school will impart hope into our hearts. You see, the battle is won, but through hope, we just take hold of that victory, don't we? And we'll walk in victory and we'll walk in power. And so I love this word hope, and as I said, it's a joyful word. Abraham had two sons. One was called Ishmael, the other one was called Isaac. And Ishmael was born when Abraham and Sarah lost hope. And he was gloomy, and he was irritable, and he agitated. He's a great guy, but there's no joy in Ishmael. But then, when Abraham, against hope, he believed in hope, he had a son, and his name was Isaac. Do you know what Isaac means? Laughter, joy, happiness. And certain hope is always joyful and always happy. And so I love hope, and I love that word, and I love that which we're talking about at this time. Now, I want to speak about two words. I love it when you interact a bit, you know, yes, I agree, and hallelujah. Able to do that? Bit of laughter, yes. That's good. It kind of blesses me. But there are two words I want to bring tonight, and I hope to really explain them. The first word is impulse, or to be impulsive. Are you ever impulsive, or am I the only one? I do get impulsive. Ask Jill. But first one is being impulsive or impulse. And the second one is revelation. That's a wonderful word, the word revelation. And in terms of decisions that we make and situations that we face and things that are like that in our lives, we either face it or come to a choice or react through impulse, through being impulsive, or we act through revelation. One of these two. We either become impulsive or else we act in revelation. And I want to explain what I believe impulse is. It's the thought that we get that originates in our own soul and our own mind, but it's not from God. God is not in the thought. We think something, and it's our thought, but God is not part of that thought. And so we're walking totally by what we see and what we feel and what goes on in our life at the time without God. And you see, the world lives impulsively because the Bible says that it's only when we're born again that we see or have revelation of the kingdom of God. And but God wants us to live in a different level to being impulsive, and that's the level of revelation. So when we live just by our sight and our feelings and what the Bible calls our flesh, we say we live impulsively. And I'll give an example of impulsive people. So Matthew chapter 16 and verses 13 and 14. I think it should come up, but if you have your Bibles. It says, Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, Who do the people say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said to him, some say they're talking about you, and some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah, or you're one of the prophets. They're talking about you. They're debating you. They're reasoning. They're saying, what do you think? This is what I think. Now, they were thinking lots of thoughts, but was the Holy Spirit in those thoughts? When they said, I think Jesus is John the Baptist, did the Holy Spirit say that? No. These are thoughts that totally come from their reasoning, and they're not really very good, are they? So that's what I mean when I say we're impulsive. Now let's look on into verse 15. And Jesus said to the disciples, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you like that word? Is that impulse or is that revelation? That's revelation, because Jesus, something sprang up in Jesus. I don't believe Jesus just sat there. I think he got excited. Something stirred in his heart. Yes, a man full of Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Spirit of God. But something stirred in his heart, and he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. That's revelation. Everybody else is impulsive. They're saying, oh, I think this, maybe that. But Peter has revelation. Now, why am I saying this? Because you see, certain hope, the hope that God gives, does not come impulsively. It comes from revelation. It comes from the word of revelation. And so God wants us to be people who live in revelation rather than who live impulsively. And Jesus said, the Father spoke that word into your spirit. The Father revealed that to you. He revealed that into your spirit and you picked it up. And that's a revelation. I'll tell you an amazing thing about this word of revelation, because Jesus said, I'm building my church on that word. You know, the word that Peter had has caused this church to be founded 2,000 years later. Isn't that powerful? It's still, the power is still there. That word of revelation has power today, because the church of God is a place of hope, and it's a place of increase, and it will ever increase. And whatever your theology, I'll tell you this, the church of God will never decrease. It will always increase. It will always grow, and it will always get greater. Why? Because Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, from that word of revelation, I'm building my church. And he's still building this church because that word was spoken. You see, revelation opens up the power of God through hope. And so, revelation is a higher realm than impulse. Seeing and hearing what God is saying is a greater realm than seeing with my physical eyes and hearing with my physical ears. And, you know, when we, and I mentioned that this morning, but when we see the unseen, it's always greater in realm and expression and authority and power and influence and working. The unseen is always greater than the seen. What I cannot see is greater than what I can see when it comes from heaven. And so, maybe we'll just unpack this a little bit, being impulsive. Because when you look at the life of Peter, Peter was an amazing man. Peter was a man greatly impulsive. But Peter was a man with great revelation. And you look at his life and you see times when he was impulsive and times when he was, when he had revelation. So Jesus went out in Peter's fishing boat, and they went out from the shore, and Jesus taught the people. He said, let down your net into the sea. Peter caught the multitude of fish. And Peter cried out to the Lord, and he said, Lord, go away from me, because I'm a sinful man. Was that a good prayer? Are you glad that Jesus didn't answer it? I'm glad, Peter's glad that Jesus didn't answer it. Go away from me. Why? That's impulsive. What am I feeling? Get away. And Jesus, he was amazing. Jesus said, don't be afraid. What a pastor, what a shepherd. Don't be afraid, Peter. You're coming to me. I'm not going away. And Jesus said to Peter, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. From now on, you're going to fish men. And that was a word of revelation to Peter, and Peter left his fishing boats and followed Jesus. That's revelation. So Peter impulsively said, get away from me. But in revelation, he said, I'm following you. And then Peter and James and John were on the mountain, and the Lord and Elijah and Moses were transfigured before them. And Peter has to speak. And Peter says, Lord, let's make three dwelling places. Let's make three booths. Let's make three tabernacles. Is that impulsive? Did the Holy Spirit show him that to say? That's impulsive. Did that get him into profit? It didn't. But then another time, Peter was in the boat with the disciples and there was a storm, and Jesus was walking on the water past the boat, and Peter called out and said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out and walk on the water. And Jesus said, come. Revelation. The man of impulse is the man of revelation. There's revelation. And Peter walked on the water. And as I said before, where Peter said to Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, revelation. But then Jesus started to talk to his disciples, I'm going to be crucified, and they're going to take me, and they're going to crucify me, and I'm going to die. And Peter cried out, he said, far be it from you, it will not happen to you. Can you see impulsiveness? Jesus had to rebuke him. And then Peter said to Jesus, I will never deny you. Was that a good word? And then they got into the garden, and Peter got out his sword and he cut off the ear of the high priest's servant, one of the soldiers that came. Can you see impulse? And then he was in the near where Jesus was, and he was swearing and saying, I don't know that man. Impulse. And then Jesus looked at him and he wept bitterly. What can you see? Revelation. Can you see revelation? Impulse. And then when he wept, there's revelation. Can you see in these central points in Peter's life how he reacts is so important? It's got such an important expression. Later, Jesus said to Peter, he'd gained that this caught a net full of fish, fished all night, caught nothing. Then their net was full of fish, and Jesus took Peter aside and said, do you love me? And Peter said, you know that I love you, Lord. Revelation. So I want us to understand the difference between these things. You see, impulse comes from the soul. When I act totally from my own thoughts, I act from my soul. That's what we call impulse. And when I act from the word I hear from heaven, I act from my spirit. That's called revelation. And what we need in our lives, and I need it in my life, is more revelation and less impulse. Now, I'm not there. I also am not perfect. And none of us are. But the challenge is, if we're going to have hope as an anchor to our soul, we need revelation more than we need impulse. Impulse is the source of earthly hope, where people say, I hope so. It looks at the natural resource. It debates. It's got strife. It's got unsettledness. It makes a plan, but totally working from the natural. And I'm sure you've been there. I've been there so many times. I've made decisions impulsively. I've done things impulsively. When leaders can make leadership decisions, and it's out of the feeling of the moment and the thought, and it's a good idea, and Yeah, why not? But what we need to seek is revelation, so that our way is led and our way is empowered by the Spirit of revelation. And revelation is the source of the Hebrews 6:19 hope. Revelation is the source of hope. You see, revelation, the central theme of revelation is not a plan. It's not working it out. It's a word that we lay hold of. So what we've got to do is take the things of God and pray and say, Lord, I need revelation, and take the word that comes to our heart and lay a hold of it. You see, hope, we lay hold of it. It doesn't drift in and drift out. It's not kind of, oh, maybe. We lay hold of hope. We lay hold of the word of revelation. You know, revelation isn't really to do with dedication. I can be dedicated and impulsive. I can love Jesus and be very impulsive. Because when Peter took out his sword and cut off the ear of the soldier, he really loved Jesus. He was really dedicated. He loved Jesus as much as when he walked on the water. When Peter said to Jesus, far be it from you to go to the cross, he loved Jesus. He was dedicated to Jesus. Peter said, impulsively, I'll lay down my life for you. I'll never deny you. Why did he say it? Because he loved Jesus. You know, it's not even how much we love him, it's how much we can receive revelation. And that word revelation becomes strong into our lives. The spirit of impulse is self-directed. The spirit of revelation is always Jesus-directed. It always sees Jesus, looks to him, and glorifies him. Now, Romans 4 and verse 18. And as you know, Paul, and it's actually Dr. Ken who brought this out to me. It's a tremendous revelation and insight to me at the time. Dr. Ken Chant, and he said, how did Paul pray for the church? He didn't pray for more miracles, for more healing, for more money. I'm not saying these are bad prayers, but they're not what he prayed for. He prayed for the spirit of revelation. He prayed for the spirit of understanding. He prayed for the spirit of knowledge. Because through revelation, we take hold of hope. And through revelation, we take hold of the kingdom and the things of the kingdom of God. And so in Romans chapter 4 and verse 18, it talks about Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to the word that spoke him hope. So shall your descendants be. And so, first of all, Abraham and Sarah lost hope. They had hope. When they came to the promised land, they had hope for a son. And God had said, you're going to be the father of many nations. From your seed, the nations are going to be blessed. And so Abraham and Sarah had such hope. But as the years went by, and more years went by, and more years went by, they lost hope. And they came to be contrary to hope. They came to a situation where there wasn't any hope. And so Sarah said, we've got to have a son, so let's take Hagar. And we hope that Hagar's able to have a son. I can't have a son. I hope that Sarah, that Hagar can have a son. And Abraham agreed, and Abraham also came into that realm of contrary to hope. And so without hope, Abraham had a relationship with Hagar that brought forth a son. And Ishmael was born. Now, good motivation. He wanted the promise of God. It wasn't a lustful motivation. It wasn't a deceitful motivation. It was a good motivation, but it was impulsive. It wasn't from God. God was not in it. And so a lot of trouble happened in the household because Ishmael was not the joy that hope would bring into that household. You know, he was an agitator. And then God spoke to Sarah and to Abraham. God spoke to them both. And in fact, they both laughed when God spoke to them. And they got the word of revelation. So much so, they got so much hope that they did not even look at their own bodies, which were well beyond childbearing ability and age. They said, we're not looking at our bodies because we're believing in hope. We're believing in what God has said. And they took hold of hope. So they took hold of that hope. And the child was born. Isaac was born. And as I said, hope brings forth joy. Hope brings forth laughter. I love hope being in our churches, and I know it's in our churches, and I love hope being in our churches because our churches laugh, our churches dance, our churches sing, our churches are alive, and maybe we're a bit over the top, but that's hope. That's okay if it's hope. Not okay if it's hype, it's okay if it's hope. And so, Abraham and Sarah took hope of God. They saw hope in God. They took hold of hope in God. They never gave up hope. And that hope became the anchor to their soul. In fact, Hebrews 6 verse 19, let's just put it up. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. What does hope do to my soul? You see, my soul's saying maybe, maybe not. My soul's saying, can God do it or not? My soul's all over the place. And my soul's definitely been there at times. I'm sure yours has too. But you see, there's a hope that's an anchor to the soul. And when I take hold of what God has said, and I take hold of that revelation, and instead of being impulsive, the word of revelation, what happens, you see, my spirit, my heart, has already entered behind the veil. My heart is there. My spirit is there. But when I take hold of hope, my heart takes my soul and brings it within the veil, into the presence of God. And my soul starts to rejoice in God. My hope pulls my emotions into the veil, into the place where God dwells. Hope changes my life from being up and down and uncertain into being certain and being alive. In fact, I put it this way. Hope pulls my soul out of agitation and into peace. Outside the veil is agitated. Inside the veil is peace. Hope changes my soul from being agitated to being peaceful. Hope changes me from being reasoning to being resting. I'm not struggling and reasoning, I'm resting. You know, even if I'm facing great personal stuff, I can rest in hope. Because hope takes my soul within the veil. And I'll tell you, I've got to take it there through hope. through God's hope. It changes me from being sleepless to being able to sleep. It changes me from being gloomy and depressed to being joyful and rejoicing. It changes me from having a blurred vision, I can't see clearly, to having a clear vision. Believed in hope. Now there are many other, just coming to a conclusion, but there are many other examples of the difference between impulse, an impulsive person, a person of revelation. Mary and Martha, you know the story? And Martha loved Jesus so much, but she was impulsive. Said, I've got to make you some food. Jesus didn't order it. Jesus didn't ask for it. If Jesus had asked for it, it would be revelation. But Jesus didn't ask for it, so Martha was impulsive. Was Martha at peace or was she agitated? Very agitated. Whoa, my sister Mary comes near this kitchen, she'll get a few implements flying around. Mary had revelation. You know, out of Mary's revelation, do you know what Mary did? Mary, at a later time, she took a bottle of costly ointment and poured it onto Jesus. And Jesus said, she did it for my resurrection. She did it because I'm going to rise again. You see, you can't do it in the tomb because Jesus isn't there. You've got to do it before he dies to anoint the body. Because after Jesus has died on the cross, you won't see him in the tomb. He's risen. Mary had revelation of the resurrection. Martha was, she's a wonderful person. I'm not putting her down, but you see, revelation takes me out of agitation and into peace. Joshua had great revelation when he came to Jericho and the Lord said, this is what you're to do. And he did it, and they marched around, and they marched around as the Lord had said, and that Jericho, the walls just crumbled, and the victory that was already there, he obtained that victory and took hold of the victory. But then he went to Ai, and he said, works at Jericho, God will work for us at Ai. Impulse. It didn't work, did it? Then when the Gibeonites came, he said, oh, that'll be all right. But it wasn't good. You see, impulse. David had some amazing revelation. You know, David was going to fight the Philistines, and he said to the priest, let's find out from the Lord how we're to do it. And twice he said, Lord, how do I fight the Philistines? Revelation. He said, if I'm going to the battle, I want revelation. And so if we're serving God as we are, and your heart's for God, the key thing in our life is that we seek revelation. And when we say, in fact, my prayer is, Lord, take away the thing that draws me to be impulsive. The thing that's making me impulsive. I don't want to live in the territory of being impulsive, and it's only my own feelings and my own thoughts rising up. But let me live and let my life be led and dominated by revelation. And so as I close, just want to read Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 18, because this was Paul's prayer for the church. He said, this is what I pray for the church. This is what I'm praying for you, he said. He was an amazing pastor. Said, church, this is what I'm praying. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. I'll say something about you and me. We have faith in the Lord Jesus. Is that right? Amen? You say amen? I say amen. after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and I heard of your love for all the saints. Do you love the saints? Do you love one another? I feel it here. You know, it's great. You love one another. And so Paul says, if you're that kind of a church, which you are, you have faith in the Lord Jesus and love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, when we pray a prayer in the Spirit, does God answer? Did God answer for the church in Ephesus? Absolutely. Does God answer for the church in Narandra? Absolutely. Yes. And all of our churches. And God answers that tonight, just as He did for the church of the church in Ephesus. And you know, I actually believe that the key thing in a church is not the building, it's not the not even the people and the this and the that and the program, it's revelation. That's what builds the church. That's what Jesus was saying to Peter. And so He said, I pray you'll have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding. Is that there? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding being opened. You see, God opens our eyes that we walk by revelation. The eyes of our understanding are enlightened that we may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And I'll just carry on with that. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and all power and every name that is named. Can you name it? And if you can name it, Jesus is seated far above. And when we see Him seated far above, the name of that thing is brought down and brought to nothing. Because that's the spirit of revelation. And it says that far above all principality, do you love that? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And you know, if you can name it, the name of Jesus is above it. And we see that, don't we? You know, and some of us, we're struggling. Probably all of us in some areas, we're struggling a bit. But you know, the spirit of revelation says, I've got a hope. There's a hope in my calling. I've got hope in what Jesus has called me to do, in the person that Jesus has made me to be, and the mission and the direction and the pathway that He has made me to walk on. And I can see the hope of His calling. And I can see what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in me. He loves me so much. He says, I'm His inheritance. Inheritance is the most precious thing you have. And God says, I'm the most precious thing He has. We are His inheritance. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us? And we desire to walk in that revelation, don't we? So as we close, I'm just going to ask us, if you are saying tonight, Lord, I just ask for that spirit of revelation, even in a fresh way, just to fall upon me, just to be in my life. I just ask that revelation, your spirit, will be such revelation that impulse will get less, that impulsiveness, that self, I'm going to work it out thing will get less. And I'll take hold of your word and I'll take hold of that hope. And if that's your heart, then let's just stand together and we're just going to pray. And we're just going to pray even as Paul prayed. And Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, even because you've told us about the Apostle Paul, and you've told us of how he prayed. And Lord, we pray that same prayer even tonight, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, we're asking you, Lord, to give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. In the knowledge of Jesus, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know the hope of our calling, that we may know the riches of your inheritance in us, and that we may know the exceeding power of your Spirit upon us, and the power of the name of Jesus, which is above every name. And I said that revelation will be stronger and greater and powerful in our lives, even tonight. And we receive in the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we receive the Spirit of revelation. We receive the Spirit of opening our eyes and understanding and wisdom and knowledge in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father. We receive with thanks, and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you.